This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Have you guys heard the sheriff in Polk County? This is in Florida. Calling this a classic example of, quote, nothing good happens after midnight. After there was some prom after party at 3 a.m., police were called. It was a mob of kids.
Oh, yeah.
3 a.m.
Simmer down in there, big guy.
And then there was some crossfire drive-by shooting that injured three of the kids. I think one of the kids is going to lose an eye.
Oh.
The other two have recovered. And so they do this news conference, I think it was yesterday or the night before. There were several hundred kids there. And, quote, no one saw a thing.
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that weird that no
that
one saw
so weird.
Anything?
By the way, Sheriff Grady Judd has gone viral many times for his aggressive honesty.
Like,
and
tough on crime. Yeah. He basically did this news conference and said, shame on you. The three victims, by the way, that were shot were kids that were in a car that had nothing to do with the incident. Hmm. Now, they were still out at 3 in the morning. We can have that post-graduation prom discussion if you want. But, you know, are kids still doing the rager, the after-prom rager?
Well, they're definitely doing the after-prom party. I know that, having two young daughters who recently graduated from high school. Thank God they're either on their own or in college now.
Parties certainly went into the wee morning hours often when I was in high school. Now, granted, it's been a decade. May have changed, but something tells me it didn't.
Story here from the New York Post. Women apparently are more attracted to bald men. Is that true?
Something hairy about that.
Stop it.
Shut
up. That wasn't even creative.
Up.
I thought it was good.
Remember when Bruce Willis first went bald like 20 years ago? Sort of attractive. Like, there are certain guys that look better bald because, you know, you've got forehead shape issues or what have you.
Apparently there is a website called Illicit Encounters, which proudly boasts to be an infidelity website network.
God.
But they surveyed 2,000 of their women clients who want to cheat on their husbands, asking them, what is it about men that you find the most attractive? Being bald came in number two.
No.
Number.
What was number one?
A great physique.
Okay.
Also, the fact that they have 2,000 women to pick from.
A shaved head can be perceived as a sign of confidence, maturity, and masculinity, which can enhance overall attractiveness for some women. A clean-shaven head can also be a sign of simplicity and cleanliness. Listen to this. Studies have shown that bald men may be perceived as stronger, more dominant, and taller than men with hair. Look this up.
Studies, I'm not going to look it up. I got the story right in front of me.
Studies have shown that bald men may be perceived as stronger, more dominant, and taller than men with hair. You know why? Mr. Clean.
But you know what it's from?
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I am telling you right now, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Years.
Yes, it's because he was tall, broad-shouldered, like think like a contractor that drives a big old pickup truck.
Animated. Yep.
It comes from testosterone. Testosterone is a factor in balding.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
It's genetic. Isn't it whether your mom's dad was bald?
It's not about that. I think it's perceived that, biologically, an innate thing. They see a guy who is balding. Oh, he's full of testosterone. He's a virile partner.
Like Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Around the house.
Now, keep in mind, though,
people find attractive.
The number one thing was a good physique. So this only applies if they're chiseled.
Hot, chiseled, bald guy.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess what was 3, 4, and 5 amongst these hussies that want to cheat on their husbands?
Physical.
No moral character.
Physical physique is number one.
Balding is number two.
Education.
No.
Eyes.
Okay, you're on the right path. I need a color.
Blue?
No.
Brown?
No. Green is number 3.
Oh,
green,
really?
Green eyes is number 3.
Uh-huh.
I have blue eyes, and I always thought that having blue eyes was kind of unique and attractive.
I've got green eyes.
That's why I find you so attractive.
Sometimes.
Hello.
I swear to you, Johnny's eyes sometimes are green, sometimes they're gray, and sometimes they're blue. Depends on the light.
And the amount of alcohol.
I have blue-green.
Yeah, blue-green.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess what number 4 is on the attractive scale?
His smile should be way up there.
Nope.
Bank account.
Wallet.
No, it's not money and it's not education.
Humor.
Didn't even make the top 5.
Oh, funny has to be
low moral character.
Way up there.
Clearly, if we're on Illicit Encounters website.
Okay.
Chest hair is number 4.
Oh, so you need hair down there, but not up there.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
It's migrated.
I mean, you remember the 70s.
Oh, Barry Gibb, you sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Barry.
See, now I do have a mane of chest hair that I do not shave. I do trim it from time to time.
Uh-huh.
My brother has the equal amount of a mane of chest hair, but he is bald as an eagle on his chest.
He's a good-looking man, too.
Who, my brother?
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
I'll let him know that you think that. He'll be here on Friday. But my brother shaves every hair off of his body except his goatee.
Okay, did not need to know that.
Wow.
Number 5, tattoos and piercings.
Okay.
Dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel like we're describing a biker?
We kind of are.
Okay.
Kind of are.
Number 8.
From the text line, I'm shaving my head tonight.
I think it just stopped at 5. Now, does my McDonald's haircut qualify as at least partially bald?
It makes me want fries.
Okay.
I think that is some negative points on the shake helps. Scale.
So the receding hairline that Dan and I
Let me ask you something. Let me
don't
ask you
act
something.
Like you don't
nope,
have a receding
we
hairline.
We are all
either.
Aging on this program together. Let me ask you something. Will there come a time?
No.
And when is that time?
No.
You know, you're not going to do the comb over with 3 strands of hair,
absolutely
but will there come
not.
A time? Because it looks very nice the way it is right now, but
thank
I'm
you.
Just wondering in the next 10 years, as we age here together, if it starts going, you know, at what point is it the midpoint of your head that you're just going to say, all right, I'm just going to shave it off? How long are we hanging on here?
In line with the ears or?
I think we should have a head shaving contest on the show.
Why would we do that?
You are not touching my locks.
No, I like Sam's locks.
And then maybe we could do Scott's hair, too.
Have you thought about it, Scott? Will there come a point where if the recession goes on a little bit longer than you would like, that you just shave it off?
If the recession leads to a depression,
okay.
then yes, I would. If I think if it went, if my hair started to look like Dan's, I think I would probably shave my head.
Okay.
Wow. What?
I'm just digging on you. I'm just kidding. No, I think if I got like the chrome dome, I'm going to shave it all off.
I mean, I've got a big old open space up top with some very light, fine, whitish hair.
It's pretty bald back there, Dan.
Mm-hmm. There's hair there.
I know that because you work right behind me in the newsroom, and I turn around sometimes and
stare at my head.
That's a very, there's no hair on that dome.
I have an uncle who, I don't know how long he had this hairstyle going, but for as long as I can remember until a few years ago, he had the classic horseshoe pattern and one tuft right above his forehead. For whatever reason, that one tuft was hanging on strong, and I swear it was like that for like 20 years. And then a couple of years ago, he was finally convinced, start shaving the tuft.
Mr. Clean debuted in 1958, depicted as a muscular bald man with an earring. While some think he resembles a genie, the character's design was partially inspired by a U.S. naval sailor from Pensacola, Florida.
Ahoy there.
Mr. Clean has a seldom used first name.
Mortimer?
Veritably.
Veritably is his name?
He is Veritably Clean. First appeared in commercials in 1958. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Too clever by half.
So, Scott, are we shaving at the 6 head or the 7 head? Because right now you got about a 5 head.
I don't understand what you mean by the numbers.
There's a number when you go to your barber and you tell them. Like, my boys were always a 4.
No,
I'm a
number
4 head.
Okay.
You've already passed the 5 head.
You're working on a 6. I think it looks fine. For now. We'll revisit in a year.
913-586. Well, you started with a 4 head. That was really good, Sam. That was really good. 913-586-7798.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 times in as many weeks? Come on, the ship is cursed. For the second time in just over a week, a U.S. Navy fighter jet from the USS Harry S. Truman has been lost in the Red Sea. An F-18 Super Hornet crashed into the sea while attempting to land on the carrier on May 6th. That was yesterday. The 2 pilots ejected and were safely recovered, minor injuries. It was last week that another jet fell off the Truman as sailors towed the aircraft into the hangar bay. The Truman has been deployed to the Middle East for months to aid strikes against Iran-backed Houthi fighters in Yemen.
$60 million times two, it's higher than that.
I believe they're close to $70 million planes.
Okay.
Let's bring in retired Commander Jesse Reed, Top Gun pilot, good friend of the program. Hello, Jesse.
This is getting a little too regular.
I know. We're going to have to start paying you for content.
Well, you know, for the first time, I agree with the danger zone being played. If this doesn't show you that an aircraft carrier is a dangerous place to work, I don't know what does.
It is consistently at the top of the list for most dangerous places to work physically. However, mishaps like this don't happen very often. What does this say to you that this is twice in our stack in a couple of weeks?
Boy, I don't know. You know, so this keeps happening to the same ship. As we've talked about on air here a few times now in the last few weeks, they've had a pretty tough run. They had the shoot down.
A friendly fire shoot down
last year.
Yep.
Yeah, which I mean, for the folks out there that have served, definitely know about this. And for even those who haven't served, there's nothing that lowers morale like what we call blue on blue or friendly fire. And so that incident last year, I'm sure, was devastating to the morale of that ship and that battle group. And then, you know, compounded more recently with these other incidents in a long deployment. And they've been, you know, from what I understand, the pace of the operational pace with what they're doing with the Houthis over there has just got to be exhausting for these folks. And I think, you know, it's when you start to stretch folks thin and they keep doing more with less. I think we might be to the point here. And again, this is all speculation. I'm not a part of it. What's going on with this actual aircraft carrier, and I'm not fully in the know. But I think you get to a point where, you got to kind of cut your losses and you got to let your folks go home and recover. And I don't know, that could be very much a human factor that's at play here as well. This is when mistakes start to be made inadvertently. This is when things start to get missed. And again, this is a speculative comment on my part.
Yeah. We understand, Jesse. You're not on the aircraft carrier. You're retired from the Navy, but you're the closest thing we have to understand what's going on. Sure. So with the USS Harry Truman, we had a friendly fire incident last year where one of their planes was brought down by their own aircraft carrier. We've had a plane go over the side. We had a plane where for whatever reason, the landing gear or the
hooking mechanism,
the cable didn't work properly. What is the rank of somebody who commands an aircraft carrier?
So an aircraft carrier, the commanding officer of an aircraft carrier is a captain in the Navy, which is similar to a full colonel or a full bird colonel, as you would say, an O6, in the other services. And a very senior captain at that as well. Usually after a commanding officer finishes their tour aboard an aircraft carrier, they usually go on, if they stay in the military, go on to make a flag rank after that, which would be an admiral.
Would the captain of the USS Harry Truman be in trouble for the three incidents that have occurred in the last year? And the two in the last 2 weeks?
The military is very much about chain of command and responsibility starts at the top. And so, whether the captain wouldn't be directly responsible for this, but as is often in the military, a lot of times the command climate, the training environment, all that tone is considered to be set by whoever's in charge. And that's why you see in a lot of cases, that old adage, the captain goes down with the ship.
Yep.
There's a lot of reasons behind that. And is it a perfect system? It's tough. I think there's been some unfair things that have happened to people in charge over the years. But ultimately, it's got to fall on somebody. And at least in the military, the buck usually stops with whoever's at the top.
It's just a string of horrible, I don't want to say luck, but my goodness, we just don't see this happen this often. Can you explain? In this latest case, this did not happen in the hangar bay as the last one. This happened as the jet was coming in for landing, attempting to land. And the hook line, for lack of a better word, that's supposed to snag the plane somehow failed. And then what are you trained to do when that happens?
Well, normally, so what you're referring to, Dana, is the arresting cables that are in the landing area there. So when the plane lands, it has a tail hook dragging on the back, and it catches one of these really thick steel wires that we call arresting wires. And they have a couple of them set up there in case you missed the first or second one. They got a couple of them. Depending on how new the ship is, there could be three or four of them. It sounds like maybe in this case one of those arresting cables snapped, or we say it parted. And normally, if you don't catch a wire, which happens often, every day during flight operations, there's an airplane coming aboard an aircraft carrier. It misses the wires. The pilot doesn't fly the perfect approach. And you add full power as you land, and you just go around and you try it again. And hopefully you come back around and you catch the wires this time. If this was what I suspect happened and we had an actual wire part, there's no real training for that. There's no drills you can practice to for that. Because it really is the worst case scenario where the airplane starts to come to a stop because it's caught the wire. But then at the last second, the wire snaps like a rubber band almost. And now you have not enough speed for the airplane to keep flying. It just kind of trickles over the edge of the aircraft carrier. And at that point, you got about a half a second to make a decision to eject, or you're going to go into the ocean face first, and it's not going to be good.
So we're lucky they survived. I mean, honestly, I do believe in this case they ejected, correct?
They did.
There is. And if the folks listening, if you want to see a good representation of what this looks like, you can go Google this. There's a great video on YouTube. I think it's a National Geographic special they did on aircraft carriers years ago. But if you just Google aircraft carrier arresting cable snap or something to that, you'll see all these videos of this actually happening because everything's filmed on an aircraft carrier. And then that footage eventually makes it out. And I mean, it's tough stuff for me to watch. It'll give you the willies if you've been in this business before, and even if you hadn't. But it's really, really, really dangerous. And a cable parting is about the worst case scenario I could think of on an aircraft carrier.
Then because it's just flapping around on the deck, right?
It is like a rubber band snapping, except this is a steel rubber band that's a couple inches thick, and it will literally slice through somebody like flesh and bone, like a knife through butter.
That was my other question, Commander. How did someone on the ground in the support staff this would be catastrophic injury.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in some of those videos that I referred to, there are some sailors that are on the flight deck that get hit. I was telling Scott this earlier. I used to pre-flight, I'm out there pre-flighting the jet and inspecting it before I get in it to go flying. And a lot of times while you're doing that on an aircraft carrier, there's planes that are in the middle of landing as you're walking around on the aircraft carrier. And I made it a habit because of this risk. It's not a common thing, but if it does happen, it's catastrophic. And I would stop my pre-flight every single time an airplane was about to land, and I would hide behind a big piece of machinery or something metal on the flight deck so that if that cable were to part, I would have something solid between me and that steel wire that was going to go flying across the deck. And that's most pilots do that just out of instinct.
Jesse, we got to get to break. So if you could answer this quickly, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You're talking, don't call me sir. We've gone over this 1,000 times. You do that on purpose.
I do.
But these pilots, you said, have a split second to decide if they're going to eject. How do you train for that as a Navy pilot? Because you can't do it in real time, because if you eject from your plane, we just lost another $70 million.
Yeah, it's a tough call to make, because you don't want to be that guy that ejects and then the plane was actually fine. So there's probably going to be a lot of people screaming at them over the radio, too, that see this happen. And so you would have probably the landing signals officers, up in the tower, there's what we call the air boss. That's the guy in the movie who's like, negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern's full. That's the air boss. Probably looking down, watching all this stuff happen, and is going to probably start yelling at him to eject. So everybody, there's the great news about all of this is that every time an airplane's moving around on a flight deck, landing, taking off, there are a lot of eyeballs on that airplane and a lot of people backing up those air crew in there to help them make split second decisions.
Commander Jesse Reed, always appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully this is the last call this week about the Harry S. Truman.
Okay.
Amen.
From your mouth to God's ears. All right. Sam Stevie, the third, Dana Wright. My name's Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from Channel 5, tears of joy, hearts, a thumbs up. They are some of the most common emojis that people use every single day to communicate. But the way kids use them could have a double meaning. Jill Story has a daughter in high school, middle school, and elementary school. Each child has their own personality, duh. But they all text and talk in an entirely different language. Says Jill Story, I am constantly trying to figure it out. Story said her children were given phones when she needed them to have one. She's not concerned about how her daughters are using emojis, but she does say the big one right now, or acronyms, by the way, acronyms are huge too.
Yeah.
The big acronym right now is SYBAU, S-Y-B-A-U, SYBAU. Would you care to guess, Dana Wright, what S-Y-B-A-U stands for?
Shut your blanking blank blank.
It should be SYBAM because it actually stands for shut your B.
I thought that's what where you were going.
Mouth.
Well, you would be up. Shut your B A up.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been using one particular emoji all day today. It's very simple. It's very succinct.
Is it an eggplant?
No.
Good.
Wow.
Because I have the periodic table of children's emojis in front of me.
No, there should not be a periodic table of those things.
Yes, it was created by a mom at forworkingparents.com.
Okay.
And so
I can tell you that many of these are accurate.
So over here.
Let me see. Let me see.
Hang on. Let me explain this to you. So over here on the periodic table of emojis, these are the drug references.
Okay. As soon as you make that periodic table, the kids are going to change the meaning and or the emoji, but keep going.
So here is the violence emojis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The pink one here, these are the sex emojis.
Bow, 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 bow. Okay.
This one here is the self-harm emojis. Sam, what does incel stand for or mean?
Involuntary celibate.
Oh, okay.
That's mean.
And then here are your extremism memes. Like 1488 for whatever reason means you're a neo-Nazi.
Due to the symbolism behind those numbers,
Okay.
Here is the periodic table for emojis.
Go ahead and look down at the chocolate-covered donut and don't read what it says.
Gosh!
Do not read what the chocolate-covered donut is.
Gross!
We've got an eggplant, a hot dog. We can assume what those mean. The peach, we can assume what that is.
Mm-hmm. What is the porcupine? Okay.
The taco.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm done. Can I just tell you that I was very close to breaking a law today, but disaster has been averted. You are not going to believe what happened to us last night. I get home. There's mail on the counter. And Johnny says, hey, you got something from, you know, such and such company that I wish I could out. You have no idea.
You want to keep this periodic table?
No, I don't, Scott. Okay. And he says, it looks like they're trying to cancel your auto insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, I only have myself and one of the kids on my auto umbrella. And I said, well, that's not possible. I'm on like auto withdrawal for that stuff. I don't even know when it comes out. It's like $400 a month and it just comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the letter and it says, not only, you know, are we going to cancel you? It says you owe like $200 and you're canceled.
Yep.
And so I walk in today, you guys, and I said to Scott, there's no way this is legal. Let's say the name of the insurance company is the Microphone Insurance Company. I go over to my laptop last night. I go, there's no way this is accurate. They have to like tell you if they're going to do something like that. And I type in Microphone Insurance Company. I get 20 emails from them because I'm on paperless. 20 emails about my name change, about coverage updates. There's an email there. They wanted my new driver's license to update my new last name. Mm-hmm. There is not a single communication from them, including the words urgent, dropping from coverage, law-breaking citizen. There are none of these keywords under the Microphone Insurance Company. I've probably got 30 emails from them, a couple of them last week. Nowhere does it mention we are going to just stop covering your cars. The first I heard of it was last night when we opened that letter.
Okay. Can I tell you a similar story and then we can have a conversation about it?
This cannot be legal to just willy-nilly drop you and then send you some letter that they've done it.
I have been a customer of USAA for 35 years.
Oh, we're going there. Okay, lay it on me.
All right. I've been a customer of USAA for 35 years. I've always bragged
about
USAA, their customer service. I, a month ago, I opened up my bill. I'm like, oh, crap, that's like due tomorrow. And so they're thinning the window on when you receive your bill and when it's due.
Is it 24 hours?
It was, no, because I think I let it sit on the kitchen table for like 2 days.
Okay, but we're not talking 6 months.
No, God, no. So I open it and I'm like, holy crap, this is due tomorrow. Okay? I write a check and I write it over what I owe.
Yeah. To cover any fees.
Kind of a good faith thing.
Right.
By over, I mean $100.
Okay.
The late fees would have been $15. I get a letter in the mail about a week later that says, I get it on April 14th.
Okay.
I remember the date. And I open it up and it goes, it said in big bold letters on the top, insurance cancellation notice. I am never late, but I was this 1 month in the month of March, okay?
By a couple of days.
Yes, but I overpaid, sort of a sign of good faith.
And then your payment crossed the letter in the mail as they're telling you, we're cutting you loose.
Correct. So they said, and I opened this letter on April 14th. And they said, if you don't pay your bill by April 17th, my homeowner's insurance and all the cars are canceled.
You have got to be kidding me.
I called USAA. By the way.
How dare you?
Insurance is a scam.
Amen. How many years have you been paying into that?
35 years.
Always has been.
Did you choose somebody's you know what?
So I called the lady up and I said, I want to get clear with you on this. She goes, oh, let me open up your account, blah, blah, blah. She goes, actually, we did receive your payment.
Uh-huh.
You overpaid. And so I said, I told her, I said, I know that this is not your fault. So I'm not mad at you. Honest to God, this
is what
I said.
But this is ridiculous.
I said, but I have been a faithful, loyal, and bill-paying customer to USAA for 35 years. I said, I know you guys keep a record of every call that we have and you take notes and it's in my system. I said, I want you to put into the system that if you ever treat me like this again,
you're gone.
I will gladly find somebody else to accept my money.
Okay, I will tell you this. This particular company has the worst customer service I have ever encountered. And I am starting to wonder if they are just looking for any reason to get rid of their clients. Any reason at all, Scott.
Which, by the way, they don't need cause.
And if so, why?
No,
so,
don't.
Sam, can they just do this? Because, you know, one of the things I said when I called them, and then they said, well, we can't help you. You've got to contact your agent. I said, I never got any warning letter. Now, I have moved, but I know I'm getting your emails because I've got a whole inbox full of them. Not one time did anyone say, hey, you're a couple days late or you owe $200, you know, and so we figured it out while I was at work. I finally got a hold of the agent, got a hold of the company. They wanted $900. Here you go. I'm now covered. But I cannot believe the rapidity with which they can just cut you loose without a judge or a jury. And I did not have a claim. If anyone's asking, you know, I got in that wreck a couple weeks ago.
Was on somebody else.
That was never turned into insurance, and they paid cash for that. This is not about a claim. They just decided, we're going to let you go.
So I am so pissed. I actually do think I'm going to drop USAA.
Whoa.
Something that has been in my family for decades.
It's the principle.
In more ways than one.
So when you look at that company that you've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for zero return, by the way, you don't get that money back for zero return.
So let me just do some rudimentary math. You keep talking.
Oh, yeah. Because most of us never have an auto claim.
Well, you remember the guy in Florida, right?
Or a massive homeowner claim.
And I'm just going to do car insurance. I'm not going to do the insurance on my
home.
Right.
So you pay in, Sam, your entire life, thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars for zero return on that. And then the one time they need $200 for me and they don't tell me, I'm gone.
A guy in Florida owned his home for 52 years. He had the same insurance policy through the same company for 52 years. He made a total of, goose egg, zero claims in 52 years. They drive by his house. They happen to see a branch that fell out of a tree.
That's right.
That was laying on his roof. He hadn't, you know, maybe it fell that day. He hadn't been home yet to take care of the branch. 52 years, not a single claim. They dropped him like a hot rock.
This is a conservative estimate, and I want you to read the number
out. Oh, yeah.
This is not, and my homes, and I've owned homes since 1998, so 27 years. I've been with USAA for 35, okay? And you know home insurance is more than car insurance.
Of course.
This is just what I conservatively have spent in car insurance over the last 35 years.
$168,000. Tell me this is not the biggest scam that we've all agreed to.
Until you need it.
Do you know now, real quick, even with long-term care insurance, you can pay into that, and there is a benefit that will pay you back if you don't use it? Did you know that? With some long-term care products now, you could pay in, and if you don't use it, your heirs or you can, in some of these products, get something back. And I said the other day, why aren't we doing that with auto and home? If you go 50 years and you never have a claim and you've paid in hundreds of thousands of dollars and never ever needed them to pay you back, why can we not have a system where you get kicked some of that back at the end of every five-year period?
Somebody says on the text line, Scott, you say you're going somewhere else. Go see what your rates are when you drop them. Am I not allowed to drop them as quickly as they're allowed to drop me?
You are, but what they're saying is you probably have a more favorable rate with USAA than you will starting over with another company.
Then I wouldn't drop them. But I'm telling you right now.
You're mad enough that you're going to raise the...
For the first time in 35 years,
raise the issue.
I'm going to go find out.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find out.
So then let me ask you this, because you do not have a history of checkered claims. You know, you're not constantly losing your home in a flood.
No.
What would the motivation be for any insurance company just to say, look, we know you've never had a claim, but we're going to cut after one mispayment of a few days? That's what I want our listeners to explain at 586-7798.
Yeah, good point, Texter. Maybe USAA wanted to drop me because in Western Shawnee, I live in Tornado Alley. Amanda in Lawrence. Amanda, hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I called earlier, you guys, and spoke to you about the apartment situation in Gardner, but I am a licensed insurance agent. And so with insurance, I always tell people I wish they would give classes on how it works in high school because it does seem like it's a scam, and I always say it's the biggest legal scam.
Yeah.
But with auto insurance, there's a couple things that insurance companies can cancel you before the renewal date, and payment of non-premiums is one of them. And honestly, if you have USAA, you're not going to get another better rate. I can promise you that. You can try, but they are just a really good insurance company, especially if you've been with them really long. And if any other company you did not pay your premiums, you're going to be getting a letter generated by a computer just as you did with USAA. So it's nothing against loyalty of customers or anyone.
But Amanda, I did pay my premium. I was like 2 days late.
Right. But being late, the system noticed that there's not a payment. And so they generate that letter right away. So you do not get canceled. So they try to get it. They give you, I think, a 2 week span to actually get it paid before they officially cancel you. But if the system says it's due on the 13th and the computer sees there's no payment, it's going to generate that letter and get it out to you so you can get it paid as soon as possible.
Hmm. All right.
Well, or they just drop you and don't tell you. Yeah. And then I break the law for about 26 minutes today.
How about just say, hey, you're late. We want to make this work for you and us.
Just tell me. If they had just told me, Scott, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
But lose the heart attack inducing cancellation notice.
All bold red letters.
And Dana, with your track record, I would not be driving without insurance.
Amen.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.